Well, welcome again to Palm Sunday. That video shows you a little bit about what we're going to talk about today. And we are going to talk about Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We start Passion Week today. We start what some call Holy Week, the last week of Jesus's earthly life. And just to give you a feel for what's been going on, Jesus has been telling his disciples for a long time that he had to make a trip to Jerusalem. It says in Matthew 16:21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Now, the disciples didn't want to believe this. Their view of a Messiah, which is why we say Jesus Messiah, it is the anointed one of God. That's what Messiah means. It is the chosen one of God, the anointed one of God. In Greek, it is the Christ. That is who we're talking about today. And this man, this anointed one, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday for three reasons. We're going to look at each of those three reasons today. Now, last night, if we'd been there on the actual Palm Sunday, last night, Jesus spent the night in Bethany. He spent the night at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And there was a big blow-up that night between he and Judas. That is the night when Judas got mad because Jesus was anointed with some expensive oil. In kind of a foretelling of what was getting ready to happen, that oil was a spice and an oil that they used for burial. But this alabaster case was broken open, and Jesus was anointed. Judas said, well, hey, we could have sold that. We could have made a lot of money. And of course, the Gospels tell us that all he wanted to do was steal the money. But that was where he really got mad at Jesus. Jesus wasn't doing for him what he wanted Jesus to do. Judas had a different mindset. The Jewish people had a different mindset. Yet, had they looked at the prophecy of the Old Testament, they would have understood exactly what was going on when Jesus came into Jerusalem. So we're going to look at three reasons today Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The first reason that Jesus rode into Jerusalem that very day was because it was time. And turn with me to Luke chapter 19. We're going to start reading in verse 28. We're going to read Luke 19, verses 28 to 44. Then we'll come back and break each of these down. Yeah, go ahead and stand up, please. Luke 19, verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going into Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silence, the stones would immediately cry out. Now as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you, and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave you in one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Be seated. So when we look at why Jesus came into Jerusalem, why he rode into Jerusalem that day, Palm Sunday, all those years ago, the first reason is because it was time. Now, if you go back and you read the Gospels, you will find a lot of instances where Jesus actually forbade people to tell them, to tell anybody else who he was, right? He would heal a blind person, he would heal a leper, and he would tell them, do not tell them what I've done. And you kind of wonder why. He would cast out demons, and he forbade the demons to confess who he was. Listen to this from Mark 1. He said, he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. The demons confessed who he was. The demons confessed that he was the Son of God. Jesus had a time. There was a day in God's plan when Jesus would be announced and proclaimed as the Messiah of Israel. That day is today. That day was Palm Sunday when Jesus came into the kingdom. This is when Jesus was always going to be officially proclaimed as the Messiah. If you would, turn back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, and we can see this prophecy over 600 years. If you watch that video, it talked about Jesus coming centuries after he had been prophesied to come. And about 600 years before, in Daniel chapter 9, the prophet Daniel wrote this. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. So Daniel prophesied that back 600 years before, that in a series of 69 weeks, which are periods of 7 years, so in 483 years, the Messiah would come to Jerusalem. Guess how many years it was between the date that King Artaxerxes said, rebuild that wall, and Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem? 483 years to the day. Okay? Daniel prophesied about the right time for Jesus to return. So as you read verses, you know, particularly verses 28 through 35, and we look back in Luke 19, you see how Jesus set it all up. Why? Because it was God's will that he return at that time. If you were still in Daniel, you can look back and you can see why he was going to return at that time. Verse 26 said, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So the Messiah, this man who was going to be proclaimed Messiah, God's anointed one, came into Jerusalem to be killed. He came in to be cut off, as the scripture says, but not for himself. Who did he come in to be cut off for? Raise your hand. Yes, he came in to be killed for us. We're going to get to that in a minute. But understand that this whole progression, this whole timing of Jesus entering Jerusalem was because it was God the Father's time. And just how inevitable this proclamation that he was the Messiah was, I mean, this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. When you look at the Pharisees, you know, they get offended. Because remember, the Pharisees have been arguing with Jesus for years, right? They've been trying to trap Jesus. They've been trying to get Jesus in a problem. And Jesus obviously being God, gives them biblical answers that they can't even argue with every single time. So here he comes. The people are proclaiming him to be Messiah. Name above all names, King, Lord, Anointed One. The people who provide the base for these Pharisees' power, the base for their money. And look what they said over in verse 39. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." You read another gospel, they actually said, "Tell them to be quiet." Because they didn't want him proclaimed as Messiah. But when you think about the inevitability of the timing of this day, listen to what Jesus said. "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." If the people shut their mouths, the rocks and stones themselves would start to sing. They're going to be singing Hosanna. They're going to be proclaiming him the Messiah. That is how much God was going to make sure that his son at the right time was proclaimed the Anointed One from God. So that's the first reason that Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, because it was time. God had a time. God has a time for all things. God has a time for you and me. He has a time that you and I are going to leave this world. He has a time for everything. You know, Ecclesiastes says, for everything there is a time and a season. A time to laugh, a time to cry. You guys know the song from the 60s. It's a great song because it's taken right out of Scripture. There's a time for everything. This was Jesus' time. But the second reason that he rode in was not only timing. The second reason that he rode in was to fulfill Scripture. Is it important that our Lord and Savior fulfills Scripture? Oh, yeah. If there were a prophecy that Jesus Christ did not fulfill about the Messiah, then Jesus Christ would not be the Messiah. Every single prophecy that is made in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, about the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King, was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Every single one. So let's look at verses 36 through 40 specifically. He said, "And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, coming down into Jerusalem, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen." Now remember, he's coming into town riding on a donkey. You guys remember how conquering Roman generals, how conquering military leaders would come into town? Would they be riding on a donkey? No. You might remember this image. They're riding on a white horse. We do see Jesus again riding on a white horse when he comes back as king. But in this instance, their Messiah came in riding on a donkey. And here's what they said. "Blessed is the King." So they acknowledged him as King who comes in the name of the Lord. "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Why did he ride in on a donkey? Because that's the way the Old Testament prophets told us he was going to ride into Jerusalem. Turn back, if you would, to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Towards the end of the Old Testament there. Zechariah 9, 9. This was written 550 years before that Palm Sunday. So Daniel's prophecy 600 years before, Zechariah's prophecy 550 years before. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the Old Testament told us that Jesus was going to come, but he wasn't going to come like people thought. He wasn't going to come as the conquering military hero. He was going to come as the Messiah, the anointed one, the deliverer of all the people. But he was going to come on a donkey. You go back and you read that story. Number one, he had to get the donkey. Jesus told his disciples where to go get it. Was it there? Oh, yeah. He told them, when the owner of that donkey asks you, what are you doing with my donkey? You tell him, the Lord needs it. Did that happen? Yes, it did. So they know what's going on. And when you look at what else happened, Zechariah says, look, the people are going to welcome him with joy. Did they do that? Yes, they did. They welcomed him, Hosanna. That means save, we pray. They recognized that he was the king, and they recognized at that point that he was the source of salvation and the only source of salvation. Save, we pray. So Zechariah said they're going to welcome him with joy. They're going to shout. The Bible tells us they shouted. They shouted so loud that the Pharisees said, shut up. You see the prophecy? You see how Jesus fulfills Old Testament, New Testament prophecy? Now, there's other prophecies from other scriptures we've looked at before. Think about this one. Isaiah 53:3 says he would be rejected by men. That's getting ready to happen that week. We saw last week in the parables of rejection, the final rejection, the penalty of the final rejection. But that's getting ready to happen. And it also says that he would die for us. He would pay a debt he did not owe. He would be bruised for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquities. And all that scripture came to pass. So Jesus came in, number one, because it was time. It was God's time. Y'all ever appreciate God's timing? You know? Just think about that. Think about in your life all the things that have happened to you where, gosh, if I'd just been 5 minutes later or 5 minutes earlier, I'd have been in that wreck. That is not coincidence, folks. It's God's timing. He came in secondly because that's what Scripture said would happen. And Jesus said, look, not one jot or tittle, not one apostrophe or comma is going to be taken away from that law from the Old Testament ever. He fulfilled every single prophecy about this day to the day. You think, oh, those are cool stats, those are cool facts. But here's the best one. The third reason that Jesus came into Jerusalem that day is to die for us because he loved us. And you know, we've been in church a while. We kind of get that, don't we? That's why we're going to really focus this week on what he had to endure and how much he endured showed his love for us. You know, we see his love. Look, John 3:16 tells us that he came to the world because he loved us, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We get that. We know that he came into Jerusalem that day. Didn't just come into the world, but he came into Jerusalem knowing that this proclamation of his messiahship was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen. He'd been telling his disciples that when it happened, the religious leaders, boy, they were going to get kind of mad. He was going to suffer abuse at them, at their hands, and he was going to be killed. You remember what Peter said? Oh, no, that'll never happen. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Right? Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, yet he willingly still goes into Jerusalem. He wasn't kicking and screaming, as I said. In fact, if you look at Luke 19, verses 41 to 44, you can tell the compassionate heart that he had even as he's going into Jerusalem, knowing full well that not only is this wonderful day of proclamation lying ahead of him, but on Monday he'll be in the temple dealing with the thieves. On Tuesday he's going to argue with the Pharisees. Wednesday, Judas is going to betray him. Thursday, he's going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. Friday, he's going to be killed. All of that was in his head on this trip down. Where was his heart? Let's read 41 to 44. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it. Wasn't thinking about himself. He said, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side. And they will level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another." And here's the sad part. "Because you did not know the time of your visitation." So Jesus is thinking as he's going down the Mount of Olives, coming down that path into Jerusalem, he's weeping over the city. He's weeping over the people that are in that city, knowing what's coming to them. What he describes in verses 42 to 43, that they're going to be leveled, that happened 40 years later when the Romans leveled the city. They didn't leave one stone on another in the temple. Despite, let me tell you how great this prophecy is. Jesus said there will be not one stone left upon another. The Roman general, because there was so much gold in the temple, he told his soldiers, "You do not damage the temple." You know what happened to the temple? Destroyed. What happened? Well, it seems there's one of two reasons. One of them says that a bad shot with an arrow missed, the flaming arrow goes into the window, catches the whole thing on fire, and it burns down. The other story is that the Roman soldiers got so greedy about all the gold that they saw, they started ripping it out and it collapsed. We talk about our military today. Let me tell you about what happened if you were a Roman soldier and you did not follow orders. You were killed. Okay? You weren't court-martialed. You weren't dishonorably discharged. You weren't honorably discharged. You were just killed. So understand how serious that those soldiers would have taken that commandment, yet God's prophecy was fulfilled. Not one stone stood upon another. And Jesus is weeping because he knows that in the lifetime of those people that he's going to see today, that's going to happen. But the worst part is, he says, "You missed your time of visitation. You had your time to accept me. You had your time to acknowledge me. You had your time to treat me and accept me as King, as Messiah, as your Savior. And you missed it." That's why Jesus was weeping. So as he's going down that last time, or that last on Palm Sunday, as he's going down, he's not thinking, worrying about the cross. He's worrying, loving the people. He came to die for sinners because he loves us. We see that from the very beginning of time. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, and he's talking about the gospel that he preached to the Corinthians, and he made it really simple. He said, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." That "according to the Scripture" is important. "He was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scripture." The Scripture told exactly what was going to happen to this Messiah. It told exactly when it would happen to the Messiah. It told exactly how it would happen to the Messiah. When you look back at some of the prophecies about the crucifixion, when Jesus is going to be crucified, they talked about this happening 1,000 years before Jesus lived, and crucifixion had not even been invented yet. Wonder how they knew that? Because God told them. You know that, and we'll cover this on Wednesday night, in crucifixion, the Romans kind of wanted to help people along to die quicker, so they would come along and they would break their legs. There's a reason. But the Old Testament said that not a bone of his body would be broken. Romans broke everybody's legs except for Jesus's. They didn't have to break his legs because he had died. Because of all the beatings, he was so weak. But again, he fulfilled that scripture. He did all of this. And then one of the last things he said on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even hanging there on the cross, dying, knowing he was dying, his prayer was for the forgiveness of the very people who nailed those nails into his wrists and feet. Right? That's love. That is sacrificial love. That is why Jesus came to die. And here's the thing. We talk about timing. We talk about the plan. This was always the plan. Please understand that. From the beginning of time, God knew. Remember, Jesus became our salvation before the foundation of the world. This was always the plan. It wasn't a reaction. It wasn't a, oh gosh, I got to come up with plan B because they messed it up in Eden. No. It was always the plan. That same hill that Christ was crucified on was the very same hill that Abraham took Isaac up to sacrifice. 1,500 years later, but the same hill, the same symbolism. Who provided the offering when Isaac did not have to be sacrificed? God did. Who provided the offering when Jesus was crucified? God did. So understand that this was always the plan. The plan was always based in love. The plan was always based in the fact that God wanted us to come back to Him. We did mess it up in Eden. Great, 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 however many greats that would be, grandfather messed it up. Grandmother messed it up. You know there really was an Adam and Eve, right? Jesus says there was. They messed it up. But in that very same garden, Jesus said, God said, I'm going to send the seed of a woman, and he's going to deal with that serpent. He's going to take care of this problem that's come into the world. He's going to take care of the sin debt that can't be paid by anybody else. Genesis 3, all the way through the end of the Bible, tells about that great redemptive plan that was always in God's mind. And it was always Jesus who was going to fulfill the sacrifice, the payment of the debt that nobody else could pay, because he is the only one who has ever lived who has been the spotless Lamb of God. So understand this. This is all part of God's plan, and it's all because God loves you. Fill in the blank. Put your name in there. Because God loves you. Not just somebody else. He loves them too. But this happened because God loves you. So as you start thinking about what happened on Palm Sunday, I got a couple of questions for you. Have you confessed Him as Messiah? Have you said, yes, He is my Lord? Have you said, save, I pray? Save me. I know you're the only one that can. That's what these people were saying. Have you said that? I pray that you have. If you have not, today is the day. Because look, Jesus wept over them because they missed their time. They missed the time of their visitation. Today, every Palm Sunday, every day we celebrate Palm Sunday, it is Jesus being presented by God as the Messiah. We know it's by God because God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of it. It's prophesied. And had the people shut their mouths, can you imagine the rocks and hills singing out? Nobody would have believed it, but it would have happened. He came, and he's still asking this question, will you accept me? Will you confess me? Don't miss your time. If you're a child of God already, and you know your timing is secure, you know where you're going, but think about this next week. Love what he did for you. Appreciate what he did for you. Really understand what he did for you, because it will increase your love for God, and it will increase your motivation, your urgency, whatever it may be, to get out and tell people, because you won't be able to hold it in. It was all part of his plan, and it was all motivated by his love for us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you so much today for this word. We thank you so much that you have given us Jesus Christ, that you set him out as the Messiah, as the Christ, as the Savior of the world, the King, Emmanuel, all those titles that you give him, God with us. Lord, we confess that he is God. We confess that we are sinners, that we have no way to be saved except through you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who has not yet come to you, that they do not miss the hour of their visitation. They do not miss this invitation. That they come to you today and they appreciate you. They confess you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, for those of us who are Christians, we start this Holy Week, as we start this Passion Week, I just ask you to open our hearts and open our minds so that we can more fully understand the depth of the sacrifice that you made, the depth of the suffering that you voluntarily undertook without a word, without a whimper, knowing that that's what was required because of my sin. Lord, I thank you for that. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.